Find our text tonight in the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter number 3, we'll start in verse number 1. We'll read verses 1 through 3 of 1 John, chapter number 3. Miss Ann, I just got Sister Wilma broke from throwing books in the floor, and you're going to pick it up now? She's taking it right up. Yeah. You know, a neighbor of mine who's a sheep farmer told me years ago, said if you got one sheep starts getting out, said you better get rid of it quick as you can. Said next thing you know, every one of them will be a following that and getting out. And that's what's happened. Miss Wilma's done taught her how to do it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have a Bible that can be trusted. Thank you, God, for the inerrancy of Scripture. Lord, we can hold this book tonight and know that it is without error. Lord, I thank you that our Bible tonight doesn't contain the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. I thank you that it doesn't contain truth, but that it is truth. God, we don't have to have a cloud of doubt hang over the Word of God tonight. We know that every word of it is God-breathed, and Lord, that it is your very Word for us. And so we thank you for that tonight, Lord. God, we pray tonight that you would help us, that you'd illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. God, I pray that you'd help us to preach the word of God tonight beyond ourselves and in no effort whatsoever to get any honor or glory to any man, but that the Lord Jesus would be high and lifted up. God, I pray that you'd help your people tonight, feed your sheep. God, help us tonight as we glean into the word of God, or to glean that from it that would help us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're interested in looking tonight at the love of God in the life of the believer. The love of God in the life of the believer. What we mean by that, we want to look at it. We want to see the love of God as it is placed into the life of the believer, but then what all it brings about. And we won't exhaust that subject by any stretch tonight, but we hope to exhaust it in what's contained in these three verses tonight. Verse number 1 begins by saying, "Behold." You know what that means? It means stop and look at and consider for a few minutes. He's about to present us with a truth that doesn't need to be read through quickly and skimmed over and hit the high spots. We need to pull this thing out of overdrive, and we need to drop it down into granny low, and we need to slowly look over and take in what is about to be said to us. That's what he means when he says, "Behold." What does he want us to behold? He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Now that word "manner" means what type or what sort or what kind of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I'd say that's worth coming out of overdrive and dropping it down into granny low, because if you're at highway speed reading this verse and you don't pull it down and take time to consider what's being said, there's no way that you'll ever be able to mine out all of the riches that is deposited even in the first few verses that we've read in this verse. That's why he said, "Behold." Slow down and take it in. what manner, what type, what variety, what kind, what magnitude of love the Father, the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the self-existent one, God Almighty, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That word bestowed upon us means that he took and he laid it upon us. He covered us in it. He wrapped us up in it. He enveloped us in it. He covered us in this love. He said, you ought to consider what kind of love this is that the Father hath bestowed upon us. He said to consider that we should be called the sons of God. Now think about that. We think about Christ Jesus, the God-man, the Lamb of God, the sinless one. It's no wonder that he would be called the Son of God. But when we look upon Christ, the Son of God, and then consider that fallen and sinful creatures such as ourselves would ever be considered to be called the sons of God, what brought that about? Well, it was the love of God that brought that about. It was absolutely nothing that God foreseen in me. There's absolutely nothing that God foresaw in you. God didn't look down the road into the future and look at you or I and say, boy, I tell you, that's a real jewel. That's a real treasure. That's one that has something to offer me. That's one that could make heaven sweeter or more glorious. That's not the case at all. The only reason that we are able to be called the sons of God tonight is because of this love that the Father has bestowed upon us. I tell you, get her down in low gear, boys and girls, and consider the love of God that he has bestowed upon us. Oh, he has loved the unlovable. He's loved the ungodly, the wicked, the unbecoming. He's loved the vile, the sinner, the wretched. He's loved us, and he's shed his love abroad in our hearts, and he's enveloped us, encased us, shrouded us in his love. He said you ought to slow down and just behold it. You ought to think about it a little while. I'm convinced that that's the reason why some of God's people don't get too shook up and tore up anymore. It's because they just, Brother Boozer, they highway speed through this stuff sometimes. And they don't slow down and think about the reality of how God would have been perfectly fine without us. I mean, God didn't need us. We were in need of God. Heaven wasn't in need of us. We were in need of heaven. We were the needy ones. He was the righteous and holy one. And there was no cause, hear me now, no cause whatsoever for God to ever cast one eye of mercy our way outside of the love of God and the grace of God that he shed abundantly upon us. He said, you ought to think about that. You ought to consider that God has loved us in that way. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Think about that we should be called the sons of God. To consider that. You know your story. You know your vileness. You know your putridness. You know your wicked, ungodly, dark nature, your depraved nature. You know who you were. Furthermore, you knowing your Adamic nature that still is wrapped around you, you know who you are tonight. And God still loved you. God still, in mercy and grace, said there's love abundant for this one. And he loved you anyhow. That we should be called the sons of God. I consider myself, I look on my story as far back as I can remember in my life, and scan across all the years of my life through adolescence and into preteen years and through my teenage years and early adulthood, all the way up to the age that God saved me at 23 years old. And it's a marvel to me. It is absolute mystery to me. This is not false humility, beloved. This is honesty. God, if God was anything like me, God would have looked at me and said, let this one burn in hell forever and forever, because hell is too good for him. But God in love looked down upon us and showed mercy and grace, and we ought to bless his name for it tonight. We're going to take a day this week, and we ought to. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving. We ought to wake up every day of our life and be a thankful people. Thank God for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. That God would let us be born in the greatest nation that has ever existed on the face of God's planet Earth. He let us be born in these United States of America to know freedom and liberties like the rest of the world has never known. And I know that she's not perfect, and I know that everything is not as it should be. But I tell you, there's not a country in the world tonight that's building walls and standing soldiers at guard to keep Americans from crossing over illegally into their country. We're the ones having to do that because people want to come here. Why is that? It's because America is the only nation that's ever been founded upon the Word of God. You can talk that pilgrim talk as long as you want to. It won't upset me, but I'll tell you what they were. Hey, friend, you can call them pilgrims, but they were Puritans, and they were Bible believers, and they got off of that boat and had a 1611 King James Bible under their arms, and they founded this great land and began our government on the Word of God. And you and I have been the recipients of that grace all through our lifetime to live in this great country, the most glorious country on the face of God's earth. Thank God for the liberties and freedom that He's afforded us as Americans. But even beyond that tonight, I tell you, we're all doing all right tonight. Even in our country, the richest nation on the face of the earth, the poorest man, woman in America tonight is still richer than most of the world. But most of us inside these four walls tonight, we call ourselves poor folk, but I assure you that that's a term of relativity, that we're in no wise poor. I suppose that everybody under the sound of my voice tonight has been well fed today, or will be well fed before this day is over with. And all of us will probably be overfed before we go to bed tomorrow night. God has been good to us in temporal provisions. God has given us grace in that fashion. He's put clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and a roof over our head. God has been good to us. But beyond that, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. We ought to stop and pause and meditate upon that a minute. I tell you, Brother Corey, it ought to make us lay low. It ought to make us humble ourselves to think that God, in mercy and grace, ever would have considered casting His love our direction. That we should be called the sons of God. He says, as a result of that, he says, therefore. We know what that word therefore means. It means you consider what's previously been said. What's previously been said is the fact that God has bestowed His love upon us and made us the sons of God. And because of that, therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Well, that's exactly right. This world doesn't understand us. This world can't figure us out. It seems odd and it seems crazy and it seems absolutely ridiculous to this world. And I understand their misunderstanding, because there was a day that I was lost and undone without God. And I looked upon Christians in amusement and amazement and dismay, just as this world does today. We're not trying to be understood tonight. That's the problem with a lot of churches tonight. They're trying to be understood by the world. They're trying to relate to the world. They're trying to identify with the world. And they're under the misconception that somehow, if they can cause the world to understand them, if they can become more understandable to the world, they can cause the world to relate to them somehow, that they will draw the world in. But that absolutely will not work. It is a flawed plan from the very onset. But you rest assured of this truth tonight, that when God saves a soul, and that soul will be misunderstood by this world from that point forward. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What we see in chapter 3, verse number 1, in the early part of the verses, we're seeing adoption taking place. We see the adoption of children. Verse number 2 really deals with glorification. We're talking about the love of God in the lives of his children. The love of God is expressed firstly in the lives of his children, in the fact that he adopts them. That he adopts them. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter talks to a certain extent about our adoption. When this was penned down by John, do you understand that at that time they were under Roman rule? And when they were under Roman rule, here's how the Roman law worked. If you were a natural born son, a mother, a father, they could legally go through a process and disown you. They could, if you could say it this way, they could unson you. But if you were ever adopted under Roman law, there was no legal process. Regardless of the amount of money that would be paid, regardless of how bad somebody wanted it to happen, there was no avenue for you to unson an adopted son. Does that make sense to you? I'm telling you, when God saved us, when God's son does, if you will, he had absolutely no intention whatsoever of us ever becoming, lost again, of ever becoming a lost sinner again. So there's adoption that takes place. Verse 2 deals with glorification. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." He just talked about this sonship thing in the previous verse, how that we're to behold what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And he said, "I want you to know something." He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Present tense, right now, not tomorrow, not here after a while, sometime later, not when we reach a certain point of spiritual perfection, but right now, in other words, exactly upon the very instant that you were saved by God's wonderful and amazing grace, you became a son of God. You were adopted into the family of God. Think about it now. Y'all still in Granny Low with me? Think about this just for a minute. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God? I'm not looking to become a son of God sometime yonder in the future, but I am a son of God right now tonight. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But he says, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." That's future tense, what we're going to be. We don't know all about what it's going to be like with that glorified body. We don't understand all about that. Nobody does. And it'd be foolish to try to assert that we do understand everything about it. He said, and I assure you, if John didn't understand about it, I don't understand all about it. You don't understand all about it either. He said, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." He said, but don't worry about what we don't know. He said, let's talk about some things we do know. He said, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." That's what we do know. We know some things. We know we've been adopted by God the Father. We know that we become sons of God, that we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We know that tonight. We know that right now, present tense, that we are the sons of God. We don't know exactly what all this thing's going to pan out like when we get that new body. We don't understand all about that. But we know this much about it. Listen to me now. This is getting better and better. Slow down, beloved. Think about it. I remember one of my Amish neighbors telling me one time he had found something on the roadside. He's always finding stuff on the roadside. I said, Levi, how do you see all that stuff? He said, well, you driving by it running 60 miles an hour, and I'm driving by it running 6 miles an hour. I got more time to look around. Let's slow down and look around at it just for a minute. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Think about that. This is getting, as the little boy said, gooder and gooder and gooder. I mean, I'm just happy that I'm not what I used to be. I'm fully cognizant of the fact that I'm not everything I want to be right now tonight. But I'm very, very happy that I am not what I used to be, aren't you? Thank God that he changed us and made us a new creature. Praise the name of Jesus tonight that you're not what you used to be. And we're not everything we want to be. But thank God one of these days we're going to be just like him. Get a hold of that. One of these days, hereafter a while, we shall be like him. 1 Corinthians 15:52. I'm going to read it for you real quick. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 52, or verse 51, we'll back up. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's talking about death. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's us, that's this robe of flesh, for this corruptible, look at that next word, must, it's an absolute assertion here, we must put on incorruption. That's an absolute change. That's an about face. That's a 180 degree turnaround. We're going to drop this robe of flesh. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Everything that is wicked and temporal. Hear what I'm saying now. Everything that is wicked and temporal about me and about you, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. Verse 54 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thank God. We'll be just like Jesus one of these days. Thank God. We don't know all about it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this much. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Think about that. These eyes shall behold him. We shall see him. Verse number 3. This verse here, I never read it, because I don't think about Brother Samuel. It says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Brother Samuel read this verse and he said, if you'll constantly be looking for the coming of the Lord, he said, they won't have to send the FBI to hunt you down come meeting time. Amen. Every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? That's that hope of the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of his children and of his church, and that we're going to be changed. That's what it's talking about. If you have that hope in you, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's what it's talking about. That's sanctification taking place right there. Every man that hath this hope. Brother Sammy said, if a man's looking for the return of Christ, you don't have to worry about him slipping off to the beer store when ain't nobody looking. You don't have to worry about him slipping off down yonder to the honky-tonk. You don't have to worry about him lying. You don't have to worry about him being dishonest in his business. You don't have to worry about him being unfaithful to church nor his wife. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Why? Because he believes Jesus might come back any minute. I'm telling you, sin's a constant pull, isn't it, child of God? With this robe of flesh. But the Word of God tells us, if we'll keep a constant hope in our hearts, if we'll keep a look into the eastern sky, expecting Jesus to show up any minute. This could be the day, this could be the hour. That's to be the mindset of the believer. Jesus could come back any minute. Why are we to believe that? Because he could. Because he could. There's nothing, to my understanding, on the calendar prophetically that delays or detains Christ from coming back any minute. He'd come any time. And we ought to be living that way. We say we believe that, but do we live that way? Do we live in such a way that reflects that we truly believe that Christ is to return surely and that it could be any moment? I'm telling you that the love of God in the life of a child of God, it brings about adoption first. It brings about sanctification that we read about in this third verse. And then ultimately it'll bring about glorification. Amen. You know what everybody, I guess, has their own thoughts about it. But what I think is one of the grandest things about getting to go to glory one of these days. Living forever is a nice thing. And I hear folks talk about seeing Ma and Pa and all the old folks, and I guess that's all right too. But I'm interested in what it feels like, Brother Boozer, just one time. To not only not to sin, but to not even feel the pull. Not even feel the tug. To live forever. I'm talking about 10 billion trillion years is like not even 1 second ticking off of the clock, and through that entire span, not once does sin pull at us. And we'll be like him. And we'll be in his presence. And we'll worship him. And we'll praise him. And we'll honor him while the ages roll on. Hallelujah. I tell you, that ought to stir a child of God tonight. That ought to work up something on the inside of us. I worry about this crowd that wants to tarry the coming of the Lord Jesus. They'll give one reason and then another why they hope Jesus tarries. I'm not wanting him to tarry for a minute. Praise God. I wish Jesus had come back tonight and my neighbor can have that turkey in the refrigerator or ham or whatever it is. I'm talking about even so. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that back yonder years ago that God saved my soul and adopted me into his family, and he's been working this work of progressive sanctification, and we have that promise of glorification. Every bit of that that's happened in my life and yours is due to the fact that the love of God, beloved, has been shed abroad in our hearts, and it's at work in our lives actively right now. Don't you bless his name tonight? Don't you rejoice tonight over the fact that you're not still lost, dead in trespasses and sin, without God and without hope in this world, like the unbelievers of this world. I mean, they're headed to hell like martins to their gourd, and they don't even know it. They're actively enjoying and indulging in their sin, and they're laughing in the face of righteousness and God Almighty, and they have no belief in God. They have no belief in heaven or hell, and they're happy that way. But God in mercy and grace showed up where you was at one day. God in mercy and grace granted you repentance and faith and saved your unworthy soul. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless his name tonight. That's what we've got to be thankful for, beloved. All of these other things we've talked about, being Americans and provisions and health and family, bless the name of Jesus for every bit of that. We thank him for it and we praise him for it. But I want to tell you the grandest and greatest thing that we have tonight is knowing that there's a time and a place. We might not know a date, but there's a place we can go back to and put our finger on and say, right here is where God showed his himself to me. Here is where the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. Here is where God took the dead and resurrected it to life. Here is where God made me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. We bless his name for that. It's the love of God that has redeemed us. It's the love of God that sanctified us to the place that we are tonight. If Jesus were to tarry, it's the love of God that will continue the progressive sanctification in our life. And it's the love of God that will bring Jesus back to rapture us out of here one day and change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and change us to be just like him. And there we'll be with him forever while the ages roll on by, and we'll worship him forever. We bless his name. Thank God for the love of God demonstrated actively in the heart of a child of God. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray and be dismissed tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God again. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that you give us tonight. God, I pray tonight for every blood-bought, born-again child of God in this sanctuary tonight, that we would, in this time that we've got to slow down and pull away from work and the hustle and bustle of life, help us to be thankful for all you've done in our life, even the temporal, even the material. Help us not neglect that, but God, ultimately, help us to quickly make our way to the spiritual and the eternal blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for salvation full and free. God, it sets in on me heavy even just now to think about your grace in our life. God, to think of where we might would be just now. To think of where we might be just now without the grace of God in our lives. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for forgiveness full and free. God, continue to work in our hearts and lives. Make us more like Christ day by day till that glad, glorious day that you come back and receive us unto yourself and you change us and you make us like unto yourself. Lord, hasten that day. Hasten that day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.